Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. All 14 branches of the Milwaukee Public Library system have been closed to prevent the spread of coronavirus, and for good reason. In healthy times, people from all walks of life congregate at the public library. Libraries usually provide an important social service, in addition to being a place for information, literature, and entertainment. But a librarian's training mostly focuses on organizational skills, and are often ill-equipped to handle so much social interaction, especially among the vulnerable populations who use libraries the most. That's why public librarians display disproportionately high rates of mental illness, and as many as half of academic librarians suffer as well. Abigail Phillips is a professor of information science at UW-Milwaukee, and she's part of a group that publishes a zine to bring the attention to the issue of librarian mental health. Lake Effect's Julian Haida began his conversation with Phillips by asking how she realized mental health was such an important issue among librarians.
Well, I actually began as a public librarian before I went back to get my PhD. So I experienced it on the job. I'm a person who has always struggled with anxiety and depression and panic disorder. So I recognized it on the job that it was happening, especially my last year. And the more I talked to other librarians, the more commonality I found that working with the public so much, you're on all the time, especially I worked in a small rural library, so I did everything. I was at the circulation desk the majority of the time. So you don't get a chance to just step back if somebody comes up to you aggressively or is demanding, or you just get tired of, just any human would get tired of dealing with other humans pretty much 24, like the entire shift, like 8 hours a day.
Libraries are such a public space. I think in a way that in America we don't have many public spaces quite like the library. So what are the different kinds of experiences that you had in the library of people gathering, whether out of need for not having access to a particular space?
We often had kind of tween teenage kids that lived nearby, and so they poured demographics, so they came to use the computer because we had internet access there. So there was a lot of that gathering, and of course, being teenagers, they kind of goof around. And then also older patrons would come and get large print books, and they'd also use the computers as well and take art classes, a lot of programming.
So would you say that libraries seem to not only be a place for information, but also because of that search for information, attract some of the more vulnerable demographics in America?
Yes. There has been a good bit of research about the different types of people, especially when you're thinking about young people, and that's generally my research area is young adults, like LGBTQ youth, especially school libraries, often the kids who are a little bit quieter or shyer or just a little awkward, they go to the library because the librarians are kind of a neutral adult. They're there to help. So they'll just let the kids maybe be pages and help out in the library, or kids just gather there to be away from the lunchroom and drama of that any kind of sort, being bullied. It's been thought of as a safe space, and we don't have a lot of safe spaces anymore.
With this being a safe space, and often with one or two staffers at a library, it often falls on the kinds of people who maintain the stacks to ensure that safe space. And I'm sure that takes quite a bit of a toll of the term emotional labor comes to mind. What kind of toll does that take? And what kind of training do librarians have to work with these vulnerable communities to ensure that the library remains a truly safe and public space?
Thankfully, now there's a growth in interest in training, especially when thinking about empathy and compassion and how to provide those to patrons while also protecting yourself, because you do have a lot of emotional labor, which is good and bad, and compassion fatigue, which can set in pretty quickly. I don't remember, to be honest, having any kind of training. And that's because I don't think I had any training. You're just, maybe I'm overly blunt, you're just kind of put out there. And it's a lot of librarians, well, I shouldn't say a lot, we tend to be a bit more introverted, quiet, and shy, and more kind of empathetic. And if you're taking on so many people's emotions and feelings, whatever they are, good or bad, it does become very tiring. I remember my first day working when I started working full time, like that 8 hours, I was just went home and went to sleep. It was so exhausting. You want to do your best to serve people, and sometimes fail at it, or sometimes maybe you get a person who just really is unhappy with you, but not unhappy with you. It's really something going on inside of them, but they project it onto you. It's just a very delicate balance of maintaining your own sanity while still trying to be some source of support for an adult, a child, a teenager, a colleague.
That sounds very difficult, and I can imagine overwhelming. If you're just joining us, you're listening to WUWM 89.7, Milwaukee's NPR. This is Lake Effect. I'm Julian Haida, and I'm talking with Abigail Phillips, an assistant professor in the School of Information Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. You are involved in a zine which brings attention and kind of provides an outlet for librarians who are struggling with mental health issues. First of all, get us up to speed about, I think zines are a particular niche kind of art form. It's a very colorful thing. What goes into making a zine, and why is this connected to mental health?
Well, zines are essentially self-published booklets, and it kind of frees people up to talk about whatever they want. There's a wide spectrum of them, but in particular, they're a great source of self-help. You can write an essay or write a poem, or you can do a collage. Some people have done embroidery in our zines. It's just a way to kind of put to paper or put to whatever in some format, whatever's going on in your mind. It's a very relaxing experience. And this, the zine that we created, is a collection of people from all over the country. It's an open call for about 3 months, and people just send us tons and tons mm-hmm. of reflections about mental health while being an information professional in whatever capacity that is, and how they deal with the mental struggles that go on a day-to-day basis.
So you're involved in editing this, but you also have contributed. And I was wondering if you'd like to share something that you've written for one of these zines that is meant to address mental health in the librarian community.
Sure. This is from the issue number 2. Let's see. Here's me. I often wonder whether I struggle with mental illness or live with mental illness. I've heard from both camps of these ideologies. I am both. I struggle with mental illness when I'm curled up on my couch, wanting desperately to hide and sleep, ignoring texts and messages from those who love and support me. I want to seek deep into my self-loathing and disappear. I live with mental illness when I'm on a walk during the fall with the trees surrounding me in gold, breathing the delicious cold air and bundled in bright scarves and a thick coat. The depression and anxiety are still there, but lurking in an unexplainable corner of my mind. I live with mental illness, yet I'm not sure living exactly describes the bottomless and seemingly unending battle with mental illness. I'm not sure struggling accurately explains the day-to-day push through depression with all the falls, scrapes, bruises, and continued force through life. I am both.
That's very powerful.
Thank you.
I'm sure that putting things on paper like that opens a great deal of vulnerability. You mentioned that a lot of librarians, are kind of more introverted. Is getting librarians to discuss these issues and share them in a zine such as this one of the challenges in the first place of beginning to seek help?
It is. Some people may not consciously realize what they're struggling through, and others, there is such a stigma attached, and I hate to use the word stigma also because it's overused so much, but there's just a resistance towards like being depressed or having anxiety. Like you're supposed to pick yourself up and be resilient, and that's extremely hard when you're struggling. And also in the workplace, it's I had a bad experience when I opened up and said I was suffering from depression with my library director. It didn't exactly, wasn't the comforting experience I had hoped for. And so that's why we have a mental health week when the zine's released, and we also have a Twitter chat. So we have an anonymous Twitter profile that where people can talk about what they're going through because they're afraid they'll get back to work. And you'll be seen as, well, I don't know if she can handle this. She's dealing with something. Or I don't, you just don't want to be labeled as this. The unstable, mentally ill person. You're a human being.
You're expected to be stoic, too, in this particular environment.
You're expected to be the strong person, the one who can find anything anybody needs and is always there with a quick reply and is cheerful and upbeat. And that's hard to maintain when inside you're none of those things. You just kind of want to crawl into a ball. But and it just gets into the whole human resources, like maybe you take off more days than you're allowed to because if you're so depressed you can't get out of bed, you cannot physically get out of bed. So some people just don't want to share that because they don't want both that label to be placed on them, and they know they won't have that support, or they think they won't have that support. And I mean, I experienced that, and I know others have. And maybe your colleagues aren't as supportive of you because they don't quite understand. It's mental illness is something very hard. Mental health is a little easier to understand, but mental illness, suffering with it, is hard to understand for some people who maybe haven't gone through it or just try to ignore whatever they are going through.
When did you realize that your experience can be used to empower other librarians?
It's only been pretty recently, actually. It was in 2017, that I had a major panic attack I was on a panel at the American Library Association, our annual conference. And if you've never had a panic attack, it's really hard to explain.
Some people compare it to a heart attack, even.
It is. And I also had a dissociative episode, so I was kind of outside my body looking at me, and my hands were shaking so bad I couldn't get a drink of water. I just don't recall a lot of what's happening. So it's just a huge blow to you. Physically, it's hard to function. And after a couple weeks after that, I was tired of pretending that everything's okay, everything's fine, that I didn't go through this huge trauma, because in my mind, I assumed everybody could tell that I was going through a panic attack, that I was just some person, some really odd person who was just rambling on stage. So I wrote a blog post, and Librarian Twitter is actually a pretty thriving thing, believe it or not.
No kidding.
If you are an academic, public school librarian, you can go on there and sometimes people vent, or some people or talk about their research, or it's a really thriving community, but also a very supportive community. So I posted a blog post on my professional website, and it got shared and just picked up by a lot of people, and people would confide in me that, I mean, online, through Twitter and through email or Facebook, that they are going through these things too. And so that was a surprising, especially some like really close friends. I had no idea they were going through some of these things. And I saw the good in it. I saw the good in trying to battle against this idea that being mentally ill, being depressed, being having bipolar makes you a horrible person or just less of a human being. So I found that by sharing my words and my experiences and people just looking at me apparently and telling me like, oh, you looked like you had everything all together and you did such a great job. And like inside, it didn't feel that way. So it's just an interesting experience to share with people and then have them share with you, because that's a deeply intimate connection when somebody's sharing something that private.
Sure is.
So the more people shared, the more I wanted to become involved in anything that was related to mental health. So that's when my research started, and that's when I became involved with the zine.
Now, what kind of advice would you have to the average library patron when they're walking into a library using that space, that safe space that librarians have to defend, and they're in their interactions with the librarian? What advice do you have for people who use libraries and interact with librarians?
One of the things I just always try to remember in general, but I think pertains particularly well with library patrons, is you have no idea what's going on in somebody else's life. Whatever they look like, they could be dealing with something very, very huge. So being kind is kind of the greatest thing in the world. So be kind when you're at the library. Be kind to the librarian. Be kind to the person who the page who's shelving books. Be kind to the children's librarian. Just know that so many librarians go into this profession because they want to help people, because they have that need. And so being kind to somebody who wants to help you is just one of the most wonderful things you can do.
Well, Abigail Phillips, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your zine with us, your work with us, your experience with us. Where can people find this zine? I understand that it's available for purchase, correct?
It is. It's a $5 donation that goes to Mental Health First Aid USA, which is a nonprofit that trains community members to help people who are mentally ill or have a substance abuse or both. All of the money goes directly to this foundation, so we use our own money to produce these scenes and send them out all over the world.
Well, we'll post a link to that at WWM.com. Thanks again, Abigail, for joining us and discussing this important topic.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Abigail Phillips is a professor of information science at UW-Milwaukee, and she spoke with Lykefec's Julian Haida about librarian mental health.